Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, and we've all been laid off. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hopefully the severance package is pretty good.
Nope. There's not a fucking thing. Jacob, Bree, Aki, how are you three doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
I'm doing super fantastic right now, actually. I got really good news earlier today.
Thanks for asking.
I'm
doing good, except my Xbox isn't working properly. It's decided that my entire library is gone, and I don't own any of my content, so shutting that down.
Xbox is having issues. I can't even get like the store pages up for the reviews to link in chat.
Yeah, it's just having one of those days. Maybe because there's less employees at the helm right now.
There's no one who actually knows how to flip the switch at the studio anymore. Are we diving right into the news, or should we chat a bit first to avoid the sadness?
I'll leave that up to everyone else.
The sadness of what?
Of the Xbox news this week? Have you paid attention this week?
No. Well, no, I wasn't sure what we were talking about.
The sadness of hearing you in full quality again.
I will go back to my crappy headset if you want me to.
No.
All right. Hopping out. I'm going to switch headsets now.
No. So
he just left.
I'm going to stop recording. And if he joins in the old microphone, I'm not going to record again.
I'm back.
Okay, good. Because if you had the old microphone, I was going to just stop the show.
It's just like, Jacob, you're fired.
No, you can't be fired because you have shit to do. Remember? We have a show to do.
Yeah, I know. Podcast. But then,
there's a podcast that we're doing. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast.
So I just experienced some technical difficulties and I missed anything that was said after the last thing I said. So, yeah.
You missed absolutely nothing.
All right, cool.
Absolutely. Nothing of value, yeah.
So, Bree, how's things on your end?
Now that my audio is working again, great. I'm knitting a hat. Yeah.
Very cool. Jacob, how's your week?
It's been okay. I mean, I got my headset back, you know, games I've been playing are pretty good, you know,
very good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Aki, what'd you do this week?
Mostly review games, but I got really good news earlier today that no one else is going to care about, but I don't care. My stepdad got out of surgery today and he's doing fine.
Yay.
So that's nice. Yeah, he had to get some surgery on his back. It wasn't fusing his spine. It was something that they were able to do instead of doing that. He had like four bulging discs or something like that in his spine. So they went and fixed that up and they're going to keep him overnight. But he came out of that around like 3 and he's doing okay. So,
I will always and forever love the fact that I did a show after my back surgery.
Yeah, only you would do that shit. That's
insane. Jacob was there too.
Yeah, I was.
He was.
We had Bo, but he didn't have surgery on his back though.
No, but he had to hear me deal with it. That was a fun show. Like, There's a handful of shows that I like to tell people to listen to if they want to go back through our history, and that's always one of them. I think that might be one of the dumbest premises we've had for a show.
That time in the hospital, was that the time that I got you the It's a Girl balloon?
I believe so, yes.
Sounds because about right for you,
because
too.
Because I don't know if you visited me while I was up in Wilkes-Barre with the gallbladder stuff.
I don't, it was one of those times.
I know I think Kunal I might have came you. Up for that. That was crazy that Kunal came up from fucking Jersey just to pop in and say hi to me. And only long, long after the fact did I find out that he came up that far because they didn't know if I was going to make it.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's weird shit to hear long after the fact.
Yeah. Goddamn.
Because they, like, sliced my liver, and it was just pouring bile all over my insides. And apparently some politician had the same complication with surgery, like, the week before and passed away.
Damn.
So people were worried with me.
Well, it turns out Hooray. They didn't need to be worried.
Nah. I'm still here, still kicking. So, goodness. News! Should we might as well just dive into this bad shit?
Yeah.
All right. The grand Xbox reset is happening, as this week it was announced Double Fine and Compulsion Games are both going independent. Ninja Theory and Undead Labs have new owners that are not disclosed yet. And Arcane Lion is exploring their options for either independence or a purchase. Asha has stated that no publicly announced first-party games will be canceled as part of this reset. No word on if their multi-platform strategy will continue, but it seems that that has not brought the results they were hoping for. They have specifically pointed towards Game Pass and multi-platform as strategies that have not panned out for them. As a result of this, 3,200 jobs are lost, with more possibly set to come. I've heard it could go up to like 4,800. The majority of ID Software is gone, reportedly over 130 people gone there. Reportedly half of ZeniMax Online and about 25% of Obsidian was let go. And they will now become a Fallout studio with Avowed 2 getting canceled.
Yeah, so the ESO staff was gutted, and I guess Bethesda's being pushed to focus on Fallout 5 and Elder Scrolls 6 or whatever. The other thing that I heard in the pile of, you know, 3,200 plus people was that the person who basically designed backwards compatibility was let go. He's been there for 37 years.
Yeah.
So they're definitely cleaning a lot of house, but there was also some talk about like 14 layers of management that they're wading through or something crazy like that. I don't remember the exact quote on that.
We have a friend, Nathan, who has been on the show before, works with Microsoft. He wants to join the show to talk about this stuff. He was going to do it today, but he's still working because of how freaking crazy things are at Microsoft right now. He explained that while, of course, programmers, artists, every possible job that could be let go was let go, but a lot was done in management. He made mention that there were managers who had nobody under them.
Yes.
They were just positionless managers. Yes.
Man, that must have been a nice cushy job for however long that lasted.
So yeah. It really does seem like this is... Despite how shitty it is, it seems like a necessary evil, and there are a lot of redundancies that they're just no reason to keep them on. It sucks. It absolutely sucks for everyone involved, but
yeah,
like it's hard to see the ups and downs of this. It sucks for everyone involved that is out of a job on this.
Yeah, it sucks donkey balls.
Yeah. I am really bummed about Avowed 2, because I liked Avowed.
Yeah, that really sucked ass. Yeah.
I'm wondering if the main reason State of Decay and Hellblade were announced as PS5 games was because they knew they were going to be sold off and they weren't going to be first party studios anymore.
Maybe.
I mean, it's possible.
Because it seems like, as dumb as this sounds, it seems like Xbox wants to do exclusives again. Like, no shit, that's what you should have been doing in the first fucking place. But I'm guessing that with Forza being the only real success story so far, well, Sea of Thieves as well, but Forza was the only runaway success in terms of games that were ported over to PlayStation, and it seems like the rest didn't really make that much of an impact. I heard rumblings, I don't know if this has been verified anywhere or not, but South of Midnight sold so poorly on the PS5, it just barely covered porting costs.
That's a shame, because I really liked that game.
Yeah, my wife liked that one, too.
I heard a number around 19,000, but I can't... Obviously, I don't have a way to verify numbers like that, but if that's what I'm seeing... I saw it reported a few times online from different commenters, so that number is circling around. I don't know how accurate it is, but it is a circling.
That's big. That's rough. Numbers.
That's rough, if
true. Yeah. Damn, that blows.
Let's get to some less horrible Xbox news, because we got games coming to Game Pass!
Yay!
A good amount of games coming to Game Pass, which is nice, because we have a lot leaving that we covered last week. July 6th, we got Winds of Arcana Ruination. Looks to be a Metroidvania-style game. I kind of want to give that one a go. July 9th, we got Tamashka.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know why. Who knows?
I don't know. Today, on the 10th, Wuthering Waves finally launched on Xbox, and you could get in-game bonuses for being a Game Pass member. Pass Ultimate subscriber. Next week, July 13th, we are getting Ascend to Zero.
Nice.
July 14th, PBA Bowling 2026.
Oh, boy.
That's a game.
I'm actually kind of excited. I heard that it's a solid iteration of the game, and I don't know. It's good to see Farsight release something again. I miss their pinball games.
Fair enough.
July 15th, Dench Attack is hitting. I know a lot of people are ridiculously excited about Dench Attack.
It looks like a lot of fun. Essentially, Jet Set Radio, but with trains.
Yes, choo-choo.
Interesting. Okay.
July 16th, Mavericks by Matt Jones is leaving game preview and hitting 1.0 full release on Game Pass. It is also hitting other platforms as well. That is a vroom vroom open world drivey game. It's like
something you want for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to give it a go. It looks pretty solid. I'd give it a shot. It's not like Forza Horizon. It's more like Sim style, but. July 17th, Fix Force and Fog Piercer hits PC.
I've never heard of that.
And then July 21st, The Planet Crafter and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Nice.
Great. Yeah.
Solid.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wanted to add to something from last week of games leaving. There was one that was added to the list of games leaving.
I was just about to get to that list.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I figured with all the games being added, we should reiterate what games are leaving. And this is what we have. Dungeons of Hinterberg, EA Sports Football Club 24, Stellaris, Golf with Your Friends, Minami Lane, Power Wash Sim, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Splitgate Arena Reloaded, Super Fantasy Kingdom, and Tectonica. Was another one added?
No, you got Minami Lane in there. Okay. That was one that we didn't mention last week, so...
Gotcha.
That was added after the fact, and I personally want to play that one, because it's the same developer as Kabuto Park, which we reviewed a few weeks ago, that was super cute. So, yeah. Supposedly it's a 3 to 4 hour completion, so totally doable before it leaves.
There you go. Speaking of games being added to online services, Nintendo Switch Online added 4 games this week. 3 to the Game Boy with Fortified Zone, The Sword of Hope 2, and Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3, and then Dr. Mario and Puzzle League for Game Boy Advance.
Nice.
Okay.
So all the Puzzle League fans out there are very excited about that one.
All 6 of them.
Dude, Puzzle League is huge. You underestimate the popularity of Puzzle League.
Apparently.
Tetris Attack? You never hear people go on about Tetris Attack?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Big dork.
But
obviously.
I'm not the one hanging out with weird Tetris Attack fans like outside of 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it's called MagFest where they have tournaments.
Oh, dude.
You should go.
You got me on that one.
You should go.
I refuse at this point.
What about Pokemon Puzzle League? Same game. Same. It's all Puzzle League, just without the Pokemans on this version. Last bit of news I have. IO Interactive has stated they plan to fund and finish Project Fantasy without Microsoft. Like, fuck it, we'll do it ourselves.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Do it live.
All right.
Read about. What does that mean? Aki, what news do you have?
None. I don't. I feel bad enough as is. I'm good.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Bree, what about you?
I got one piece of news. The Steam Machine has had some red line of death GPU failures that occurred as early within 20 minutes of use.
Oh, no.
Valve has already put out a step-by-step guide on how to fix this by clearing CMOS. So that's apparently a problem.
Yeah. How hilarious would it be if Purnell has that and he doesn't find out for like a month and a half because he hasn't opened it yet?
Oh, goodness.
I wonder if he
at least at that point, he will easily be able to figure out how to fix it. So there's that at least.
$1,400 and it has issues. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jacob, what news?
The only bit of news I have is, in case you were on the fence as to whether AI has done anything useful for us lately, a paper presented at Purdue University's MFS Cultural AI Conference found a very fascinating study on 500,000 anonymous English language chat GPT users. And found out that there is some power users who are doing lots of weird shit with it, including writing Doki Doki Literature pregnancy fan fiction. One person is apparently churning out thousands of these stories. Most of them lead to one of the women of the visual novel and video game series, usually Natsuki, giving birth usually to a daughter named Sakura. The researchers ended up researching that, and they think it's related to Naruto. But so yeah,
just keeps on giving. Thank you for that. That was perfect way to end this. That brightened my day. Something fierce. Oh shit, that was great.
Trying to think if I have a good reaction for that or not.
No.
Aki, I'll send you the link so you can
please do.
So you can read it on your own time.
That's awesome.
Like, I want to go with...
Good job, drug addicts.
But no, I like that doesn't I don't. Fit.
I mean...
I'm so happy right now.
How about
there's? I'll post the link for everybody.
Fucking kidding me!
I think that one fits.
Close enough.
Or
nope, that doesn't work at all. Sorry.
So
yeah, I mean that probably works for that guy.
Yeah.
Or woman.
That one worked.
In the butt, dude.
Oh, fucking hell. Ooh, Red Dead.
All right, what else you got, Jacob?
$20.
That's it. That's all the news I have.
I got one more thing.
Oh, what you got?
It's just a bit of personal news. Last week, I did talk about House Flipper issues, and one of the House Flippers is fixed. House Flipper 2 is fixed, but not remastered so far. So I'll keep you guys updated on that as I know more.
Wow, if we're talking game updates, guess what I played earlier today?
What?
Beatdown City Survivors. Got an update where you can add a modifier to your run to double your damage and increase your health.
Nice.
So, Jacob, you could beat stages.
Oh, my God.
I doubt it.
Oh, no. If you use Cobra and this, I think it's stone skin or something like that. Whatever the stone add-on thing is, the modifier, use that, use Cobra, and I guarantee you'll beat the first stage. Because I beat the second stage with them. And I'm going to keep going because game's awesome.
I'm going. Well, I guess I'll do a bit of news because fuck it, why not? Right now, there's a lot of good deals with Game Pass. So go buy yourself some games. Lots of games are like 80%+ off.
What are you looking at?
Right now, what's in my cart, I'm thinking of Red Dead Redemption 2 Ultimate Edition for $20. Greedfall, just so I have it digitally, for $5. Hell Is Us Deluxe Edition for $16. And Gungrave Gore, the complete bundle. Basically, I already have the game, but I want all the DLC for $6.
That's not bad at all for all the DLC.
Yeah, because all the there's like 5 pieces of DLC for that, and each one of them is like $2 to $4 individually. So it's like, oh, or I could just get them all for $6 total. Okay, yeah, that's. And I've only heard good things about Red Dead 2, so I like the first one.
I see Funko Fusion on your wish list for $2. Buy it because I think it's getting delisted.
Oh, well, yeah, I was planning on buying it later tonight because that actually has to lead in with my news that I was going to talk about.
You were done with news. Disney.
I know, shut up. So what? So was Aki, so was Bree. Whatever. I think, well, maybe Bree was, I'm not sure. But anyway, Disney Dreamlight Valley has its latest update that got released. The Honeyglow Woods, which gives us Eeyore, Pooh, and Piglet to Disney Dreamlight Valley. And it did get briefly removed from the Xbox and PC stores, but it has been restored, and if you buy it within like the next 2 weeks, you'll get extra content for free.
Why was it pulled?
Supposedly it was an error on Microsoft's end. I think they accidentally made it available for free, based on what I'm reading in Facebook comments.
Oh shit.
But so they quickly took it off, removed it from anybody who got it, and then you have to pay for it. So anyways, I'll be checking that out at some point in my life. I don't know when. But I'm going to go ahead and buy it just so you know I don't miss out on that extra content, because God forbid.
Yeah, I like how you haven't played it in a while, but all it needs is a little bit of poo to get your interest in it, back in it.
I'm a little surprised Bree didn't beat me to that, but...
All right, so are we ready for reviews then?
Yeah.
All right, well, before we get into the reviews, I want to make a quick announcement that, courtesy of Ubisoft, we have a free copy of the game Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced to give away, and we will be giving it away at the end of the show tonight after the music plays. If you are hanging out in Twitch chat right now, got a couple of different rules this week. First off, no guest entries. So if you usually come in and enter for someone else, can't do it this week. I want to keep it level. Number two, you must be here when we draw the winner at the end of the music. I don't care if you're a sub. Ubisoft doesn't care if you're a sub. You got to be here to claim this one. This is a big one.
What if we're a Dom?
I don't care.
Oh my God. That's a dumb move right there.
I mean, he doesn't work for MAGFest anymore.
No, not that dumb.
I like that.
Yeah, Dom gets extra entries. Dom is the only one. All right, let's get to reviews. First game to talk about tonight is Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced. Developed, published, provided to the show for this coverage by Ubisoft. Thank you, Ubisoft. Aki, say thank you.
Thank you.
Released July 9th, Xbox Series X and S, PS5 and PC for $59.99. Strike fear in your foes as you board and sink enemy vessels as Edward Kenway, captain of the Jackdaw. Whether blending into crowds or leading daring assaults, switch between silent takedowns and fierce brawls as you effortlessly wield swords, pistols, and the hidden blade. With a cast of historical pirate legends at your side, defy empires amidst the age-old conflict opposing assassins and Templars. Aki, tell us about your time playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced.
Okay, so in this, you're playing as a privateer, i.e. pirate, named Edward, and he's not an assassin, but by God, he finds a traitor assassin and ends up taking his place by accident, because Edward is not what we call a smart man. And this is just about his misadventures as he slowly actually does become an assassin. There you go. That's all the story you're getting, because you should know the fucking story to this game already. And if you don't...
This one's been around for a while.
Yeah. In this, the upgrades have been, they've changed some of the naval combat, they've changed some of the difficulty for combat, they've changed the main combat, and obviously they've added some extra story and overhauled the graphics quite significantly. This game is fucking gorgeous.
Oh my God, is it pretty.
Yeah, I got into this and I was like, holy shit. Matter of fact, it even adds some new story. Well, I call it new story. New cutscenes and stuff, for sure. Right at the beginning of the game, even. Because you see Edward and his wife, who I don't think you actually ever see her face in the original game. I think you see her at the very end of the game, like her back. And that's it. And at the very start of this, you get to see her face. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll be leaving to go work as a privateer for a year or two. And all I'm thinking is, you're going to leave that? The fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, so, Aki.
She's a hot redhead. Do not blame me. They knew what they were doing. And it immediately kicks from that cutscene directly in. You're in the shit. You take command of a ship that's already being fired upon. The owner's already died, and you have to battle a bunch of ships. And holy crap, it looks so good! And it about melted my Xbox, but it was worth it. It looked so awesome. Combat at that point did not seem particularly different from what I remembered, albeit, you know, like a decade and a half ago or something, when the original came out. So it didn't seem any different at that point. However, it was a lot better looking, obviously. It flowed a lot more smoothly as well. Everything just was just so fluid. It was great. Ship gets destroyed, and then you set off on your adventure on foot, basically. Combat does change pretty significantly. Your melee combat when you're fighting actual enemies on land, or I guess technically when you jump onto an enemy's boat as well, because you can do that in this game. Woohoo! And they switched it up from the original, oh, here's a weapon, you get in a single attack, and try to deflect it and get an insta-kill, which is the basis of all the original games up until, oh, shit, I think Syndicate, I think, is when they changed that up to be finishers, which is what this game started using. So, yeah, now you're going up, you're able to sneak up on enemies, kill them. Sometimes that's a little finicky because they've added more animations and stuff into the game, and they don't always work, especially when you're, like, hiding in bushes and stuff. Sometimes it just glitches a little when you're trying to do stealth takedowns and stuff from ambushes and places like that. Just, and I think it's probably just because it's a little confused on what set of animations it should be using or something would be my guess. I have no real idea because I'm not a video game developer. But combat otherwise is you're attacking with a weapon until you're able to do a finisher, or if you want, you can keep attacking them until they die, but you really want to do the finisher, because whatever weapon you're using, they get one of a handful of different kill moves based, I think, probably on where you are in location to the enemy, and however many animations there are from that location, you just get a random one. And they all look really cool. Beyond that, there's also a difference when you're doing things like the tailing missions or eavesdropping missions, something a lot of players originally didn't like. I was fine with them. I thought they were kind of fun. They were sometimes irritating, but I like that kind of crap because I'm a dork. They've changed it to where there's a lot less of them now, so yay for all the people who didn't like them. And if you really, really hate them, there's a very quick, easy way to deal with them. Just run up and kill the person that you're supposed to tail and listen to their crap, and they will have a note on them that you can pick up and just bypass basically all of the eavesdropping. So that's nice for the people who really, really just can't be asked to do it. In the original, if you failed the sneak, it would restart at the beginning. So this is a big change for that. So yay! You get some extra people that can be part of your crew that didn't exist before, and they give you new abilities for your boat. There's two guys and a woman. The only one you really need is the woman. Not because she's hot. She is, but that's not the reason why. Her sure. ability basically... her ability basically means that when you brace, which is something that you do when enemies attack you on the boat, basically all your people duck down so the attack doesn't kill everybody, I guess. When you do that right before an attack lands, and it does significantly less damage if you have her Yay! Ability equipped. So that's why you want her, because you're going to be ducking down anyways, and she gives you plenty of time to get that bonus. So naval combat is a lot harder in this thing, because everyone's much more aggressive. So you're going to want that.
You know at first. You know what else is awesome? Lloyd sure. just subbed to us for the 22nd month. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Lloyd. Always good seeing you, hanging out, keeping us company. Enjoy the kitty cats and the emotes and the Jacob face. Everyone loves the Jacob face.
Oh, sure. Matter of fact, mentioning cats, you also get some pets that you can put on your boat. They don't serve any real purpose other than they're cute. And you can get a monkey or kitty cats. You do get some new lines, more for story, and I believe all of the original actors and actresses were brought back to do them, new lines, so it shouldn't be anyone new, I don't think. There's a little bit extra story added into it, not a ton, it's maybe an hour-ish total out of this, like, 60 to 80 hour long game, something like that. So, it's not a lot. Yeah, the Assassin's Creed games are always kind of long, realistically speaking.
Now, Aki, myself and other people in the chat have been wondering, how does the sword fighting and the ship combat compare to that of Skull and Bones?
I don't play Skull and Bones because I have, what's the word? Haste. Yeah. So
you know Ubisoft makes that one too, right?
Yeah,
it's not a good one, though.
So I have played Skull and Bones, and I have at least watched a little bit of the new Assassin's Creed resynced here. And there is no comparison directly, because Skull and Bones realistically doesn't have that. It mostly has ship combat. So there's really no comparison.
How's the ship combat compare, then?
Yeah.
The ship combat is very, very different.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your answer. Because I haven't played Assassin's Creed 3, or wait, is this 4? 4. This is 4.
Yeah, I never played past the second one, so.
You need to fix that something fierce. That's why
I'm going to try to stay after the music, you know, tonight.
Yeah, you need to do that, because this is a beautiful game. You get a little bit extra scenes. You get a few new missions, obviously, for each one of the three individuals that you can get added to your crew. Each one of them have a small amount of missions. They're not particularly long or anything. There's also some missions later on in the game that I'm not going to spoil that you can get that aren't from the original that are nice. It's most of the story is still basically still Black Flag. You're not getting anything that's really changing anything up. You're just getting a bit extra in this than what was originally had. So it's not a game changer for you story-wise. But combat-wise, it's very different. Any other questions from the Peanut Gallery? Because now I'm actually paying attention to chat and stuff. If anyone has questions, or if any of y'all have questions, go ahead and ask.
What do you feel are the biggest differences between the original and this?
I think, personally, the actual combat when you're fighting people in person, completely different to me. Because the original style was, you know, deflect, insta-kill with a hidden blade was how I always played the original games. And now it's, you know, you're going to do a little bit of fighting, and then you're going to get an insta-kill with whatever weapon you're using. And other than that, graphics are completely different. This game looks about a billion times better than the original had any hope to looking, which, you know, kind of expect.
Let's not forget that was a late 360 launch Xbox One title. So we've had
It was that old.
Time to progress with technology and visuals. That is a gorgeous game, though. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. It's so pretty. Oh, my God. Just looking at the water at night during that. During the first fight, when you're first given control of a ship, almost immediately after starting the game. Holy crap. Just all the fucking fire from the ships. The cannons firing. All the reflections in the water. Oh, my God. It looks so pretty. Holy shit. It was gorgeous. Oh, and one other thing that is completely different, and it maybe I'm stupid for this, but the way the ship moves is so much better now. Originally, when you made turns, it was slow, because again, it's a big fuck-off-size ship, it's going to be slow. And this one, it feels like you take corners so quick. So easily, it's like, oh, I turn and now I'm around and I'm good. It is crazy. Also, there's no real loading screens anymore. So you get from one island, you jump on your boat, and you just go off to whatever island, even if it's on the other side of the fucking map. It doesn't matter. No more loading screens. It's pretty cool, which is probably why it about melted my Xbox. But Worth it. It looks so good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk price on this one. It is a $60 game. What are your thoughts on Black Flag Resynced?
Oh, this is totally easily worth $60. Yeah, totally. Go buy this. 100%. This is worth your money, especially if you like Assassin's Creed. This is so worth your fucking money.
Very good. I know a lot of people had high hopes for this one, and it seems like it lived up to the expectations.
I think it blew past the expectations, personally.
Very good.
I am exceptionally thrilled with what this game is.
Awesome. And big thanks again to Ubisoft for letting us check this out. Before we move on, Aki, you wanted to give a quick update on Assassin's Creed Shadows, also from Ubisoft, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, go for it. What did you want to say?
Okay, so they have just done the last update for Assassin's Creed Shadows, and in it they added a new bit of story missions, which are around some Templars coming to the island and picking a fight with Yosuke Inoue. And 3 missions long, I think it is. It's somewhat later in the campaign if you haven't finished it. You have to have at least started one of the missions to find the hidden glyphs. And they've also added some extra... they've added an extra rift, I think. It was just one, maybe two, for you to do, which is basically what they've replaced the current day chunks with. It ended up being, you know, you play as computer code that is shaped like Noe or Yosuke to complete a little challenge, basically. They've added a couple new, I don't know what they're called, but they're basically like battle passes, more or less, that you don't have to pay for, thank God, where you know, do stuff and you unlock things that are crossovers with Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced. So in the game, you can get some costumes and weapons and stuff for Naoe and Yosuke that are based on them, so that's kind of cool. And they've added in a brand new mechanic that is post-game content called Domains. And basically, someone has hacked into the Animus and has provided you with some bullshit challenges that you can do to earn some money that can only be used in the mods, is what they're called, which is the domain stuff, to unlock specialty weapons and upgrade yourself to make future trips into the domains a little easier. Some new achievements have been added with all of this, basically finishing a domain, a level 10 domain, which could fucking luck, because I am already a max level character and I haven't managed to beat the level 2 fucking domain yet, so good fucking luck. Yeah, it's some bullshit, is what it is. And yeah, it's, and then obviously there's also an achievement, 2 or 3 achievements for the new little extra added story where you fight the 2 Templars that come by. I think that's what all the achievements were.
A quick little update to add a little bit bonus stuff for people who played through everything.
Yeah, basically. The domain thing is, seems to be the major part for this upgrade, because it's, you know, you're going to be doing that for hours and hours and hours, because it took me like an hour and a half in game time, excluding all the time that I died, that it erased chunks of progress in. I spent probably actually 4 hours playing in total for just the level one. And you have to get to level 10. So good luck, fuckers. Because I'm never going to manage it, I don't think. Because fuck my life.
Well, I know you already enjoyed the game. Is there anything here that that would persuade someone one way or another either to get or ignore this game, or are you still all on board with this one?
I'm still on board with this one. I don't, if people weren't interested, I don't think this is really going to change their mind, and if people were interested, I don't think this is going to turn them off. This is just some extra cool in-game content that they can fuck around with and hopefully succeed at.
Cool beans. Speaking of Ubisoft, the next game to talk about is Monopoly Star Wars Heroes vs. Villains, developed, published, and provided to us for the purpose of this coverage by Ubisoft. Thank you, Ubisoft. Bree, say thank you.
Thank you, Ubisoft.
Jacob, say thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley. Thanked her last night.
Nice. Released June 30th on Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC, $29.99. Step into the Star Wars galaxy with a bold new twist on Monopoly. Experience iconic cinematic moments while competing with family and friends across iconic locations from every era of the saga. Bree, Jacob, both of you played this. Bree, start us off. What is Monopoly Star Wars Heroes vs. Villains?
So, once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away, I played a tabletop Star Wars Monopoly game, and it was nearly 24 hours of playing that we finally conceded that it was a stalemate. No. And gave up with no winner. Thankfully, this game has some clever programming to make Monopoly Star Wars Heroes vs. Villains fun and engaging without the 24-hour stalemate gameplay. Most games last less than an hour, or around an hour, depending on how many people are playing and that sort of stuff. You can also play this on the couch against friends and family, or make new friends and enemies online with cross-platform play. You also have the option to turn crossplay off, which is helpful if you just want to stick to your console ecosystem or whatever. If somehow you've never played a Monopoly game, it's a square board game with properties you can buy when you land on them and force other players to pay rent when they land on your property. There are utilities and railroads you can buy that give you different advantages and cards you can draw that give you boons or banes on your turn. Players take turns rolling the dice to move them around the board and take their chance at building a monopoly of properties to run the other players back. Bankrupt. This game is a little bit different. The setting for this is the Cantina, where you're playing a tabletop game of Monopoly. Our guide in the tutorials is C-3PO, but in this, as you play as part of a team, where your decisions impact your teammates, and that affects the influence points. The team with the most influence at the end of the game gets the win. You aren't playing to bankrupt each other. So you're playing either light side or dark side characters on your team. In fact, bankruptcy isn't the end of the game. Trading locations is banned in this game because clearly you're on opposite sides of the force and all. But you can win or take over locations once owned by the other team. Money isn't individually doled out either. It's part of a group pool. So each time someone passes go or gets money from a destiny card or steals from a player or collects rent, it goes into the pool. But that also means when you spend money to get out of jail or buy a property or building, that comes out of the pool too. Heroes and villains battle when they're faced with each other, like landing on the same space, and then it goes into a three dice roll, sometimes four, roll off for control of the space on that event, and you get some money to boot. You might be on the hero side playing Obi-Wan or Mace Windu, whose name you have to say in full so as not to confuse it with Mace Tawani. And on the villain side, You can play characters like General Grievous, Captain Phasma, you know, just there's like 15 characters to choose from on either side from a mix of Star Wars property. There are go events when you pass or land on go. Events get you influence points. Whoever starts the event rolls first. And there are different mini games you can roll two dice for or three dice or whatever each event calls for. The first roll is whether you get influence points, And the rules after are how many points you get, basically. You also get 300 credits for Pass and Go. And those are the things that primarily set this apart from regular Monopoly. And at this point, the game feels confusing or overwhelming with its new rules and differences. At any point in the game, you can go check out tutorials and database on the main menu. It sounds way more complicated than it is. You can play the game by creating or joining a game. You can make it a single controller for all players to pass around, or you can have multiple controllers. In the case of like online, clearly you're going to be on your own, so you'll need separate controllers. You can make private matches, online, public matches. You can find random matches to join or enter, a room code to join with your friends in private matches. Basically, it has all the features you need to customize your gameplay. And when you get into the start of a match, you can customize your character. If you join an online match not at the beginning, you just kind of get randomly put into a character. Your team consists of 2 to 3 people, and in public matches, like I said, that are already in progress, you'll be placed into the existing character on the board, and it'll show you the names of the player and their platform that they're on. If there aren't enough people, the match will be AI, and it'll just say the name of the character avatar. So, like, it'll say Captain Phasma instead of, like, XX Flaming Churro XX or what. I don't know, whatever. Speaking of characters, they each have special abilities that they can use on the map. Chewbacca does a Wookiee rage that runs to the nearest enemy to attack them. Rey has the ability to do something similar. I don't remember everybody else's that I've run into.
Han Solo can use the cantina at any time.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, there's stuff that I think is, like, they don't talk about, but, like, underneath... Like, there's each character has like other abilities. Like, I swear to God, Aurora Singh, the bounty hunter on the villain side, I swear to God, she rolls doubles more than anybody else I've seen in the game. Swear to God, that character.
Yeah. And the stuff on the game board is fun. It's got locations you know well, and others that are deeper lore. You can find yourself at Jabba's Palace or the Ewok Village, the Senate Building, the Jedi Temple. Those are Boardwalk and Park Place. Basically, its color set is an individual planet, like Hoth, and then the tiles are places like Echo Base. And when you go to jail, you get frozen in carbonite until you're released or your time is up. And then when you land... Yeah, when you land on a location like Theed Palace or the Cantina, it shows you a little 3D rendering of your location in the middle of the board. And then when you land on hyperspace or railroad tiles, basically, you can travel around the board and do different things there. Destiny cards are written in Galactic Basic and then translated to English, which is a nice touch. And they contain fun stuff like the ability to steal from players you pass, you get your normal get-out-of-jail-free card, win a beauty contest sort of cards, you know, stuff like that.
The Hutt Beauty Contest.
Yes, the Hutt Beauty Contest, exactly.
He placed second.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, ow.
Yeah. Some settings of note, you can invert sticks, swap them, remap the controller however you want. You can adjust individual sound types and have speaker ID and high contrast modes. You can change the subtitle size in the accessibility section. If you started your own game and need to take a break and come back later, there is an option to save. So
that was really handy.
Yeah. If you are playing like a family night or something and something comes up, you got to take the dog out. The kids need to go to bed and the game took too long. Like, whatever. You can save it and come back. The music was Star Wars inspired. It was brassy. It had full string section with soft woodwinds, like John Williams' score, but it was an original composition, or series of compositions that sounded like they could belong in the Star Wars universe. And there is voice acting for the characters, including C-3PO, as your, you know, guide, basically. The art style reminded me a bit of Star Wars Rebels. It has that cartoon realism to it. And there were a lot of skins.
They kind of looked like the Disney Infinity characters.
Oh, yeah. I could see that a little bit. I'm not as familiar with the Disney Infinity stuff. But yeah, that kind of cartoony look.
Cartoony
but not
toy. Yeah.
Too cartoony. Yeah, I don't know how else to explain cartoon realism. But yeah, you can customize the dice and your ship. The cutscenes are great. It's, you know, clips from familiar moments in shows and movies that you're familiar with. Also, just like I was watching the credits, like you do. This is also made by Behavior Interactive. So the people behind, you know, Dead by Daylight and Meet Your Maker and a host of other titles. I did experience a crash here or there. So I got some dashboards loading into a game, and someone else during a game lost connection and essentially stopped the game cold because there wasn't a timer function for turns.
Oh, no.
And there's no player timeouts. Eventually,
hold up. Online, you mean?
Yeah.
It just bounces them to AI.
Nope, it did not in this case. Eventually, the person tried to reconnect. It said that they reconnect, but it still wasn't working, and I ended up having to leave the game. I waited for almost 30 minutes just to test it. But yeah, there was no player timeout.
Ouch.
Or turnover to the AI. Otherwise, the game worked fantastically, and I'm having a lot of fun with this.
Jacob, your thoughts?
Jacob?
Yeah, I'm also in the same boat as Bree on this. It is actually more fun than I was expecting it to be. It does take the game board and honestly give new life to Monopoly. Like, I really do enjoy the fact that it's about getting that influence instead of like who has the most properties, who has like, you know, who has the most money, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's ways you can weasel around all that and like still come out as top dog. And so the fact that there's really a bunch of strategies you can use to win this, I thought that was really neat. I like the amount of characters that they have in there. It's a good mix between movies and TV. And I do appreciate that. They do give alternate costumes, because I mean, like, you know, what action figure isn't complete if you have Han Solo, you know, dressed in his normal stuff from A New Hope, plus the Bespin outfit, plus the Hoth gear, plus, you know, the Endor gear. You know, it has that collectability, and so myself and my kids are actually trying to hunt for all the extra characters and costumes and stuff like that, because there's various missions to undertake to get them. I'm hoping that they do some DLC for this and release like extra characters, because I mean, I just think it would be cool, and it's Star Wars, it's easy money. But
how much they support stuff like Uno, I could definitely see DLC being in the future for this.
And I do like that online. I didn't have any bad experiences with it. But for me, like, pretty much what happened is that they're like, if people drop out, they get replaced with AI. That always happened for
usually.
Me. And then, and then, you know, if somebody else wants to pop in, you know, they pop in with that. I didn't have any problems with that kind of stuff. My only thing is that generally I was the only one on, it seemed like. And so I never finished a full game with other people. It was always with AI.
Damn.
The game just released. I mean, so maybe, you know, like, you know, it still needs to pick up time and all that kind of stuff for it. My only real gripe about it, and like, I mean, this is kind of like nerd nitpicking, but the voice actors for it, some of them are pretty close, and some of them are absolutely god-awful. Like, God, there was one line that Obi-Wan Kenobi delivered with, like, almost Midwest twang, and it was just like, what? No, he has an English accent. Like, what the hell? And other people just, you know, I didn't think that they sounded close. But yeah, like, my kids and I are having a ton of fun with it. My wife's having fun with it. We're looking forward to doing more game nights with it. It's like, you could either have it be pretty zippy, or, you know, if you want to do like a full 60 to 80 minute game, you can do it. And I like the variety with it. So Yeah, all this right. was a surprisingly good, you know, a Star Wars video game title.
All right, well, it clocks in at $29.99. What do you two think of Monopoly Star Wars?
I think the price is great for a modern Monopoly with all the bells and whistles and a license on top. And this isn't just a themed reskin of Monopoly. It's light years away from that. The interface for the actual gameplay was fairly intuitive, but it felt like it required a base knowledge of Monopoly to understand the game. But if you like Monopoly and Star Wars, this feels like a no-brainer to me. Like, I had to give this a buy it with the hope that they fix some of those crashes and that timer issue. But yeah, I think even with those issues, like, it's too much fun to not recommend it.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth it. And in my opinion, it's the best Monopoly game out there currently.
All right, sounds good.
Very.
And with that, we are done with our Ubisoft coverage. Thank you again to Ubisoft for donating those two games to us to cover and to also give away to our viewers. Say thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Yay. All right, moving on. Scholar Adventure Mystery of Silence, developed and published by Devilish Games, released July 2nd, Xbox One, Series X and S, $8.99. William is a young writer in search of his first literary success. He travels to a distant abbey shrouded in a vow of silence. Among thick stone walls and unspoken secrets, William slowly immerses himself into the life of the abbey and its silent inhabitants. What begins as a search for inspiration soon turns mysterious, leading William to uncover not just a story to tell, but a secret that was never meant to be discovered. Jacob, what is Scholar Adventure Mystery of Silence?
So Scholar Adventure is a point-and-click adventure game, very similar both like kind of graphics-wise but also gameplay-wise as like the original like Monkey Island games. So, you know, think back to classic, you know, LucasArts point-and-clicks to get the idea. And you play as William, this guy who is a struggling writer, and he hopes to find inspiration at this monastery that he's able to, you know, that he's able to stay at. And when he gets there, he discovers that all of the monks have taken a vow of silence, and nobody obviously is going to say anything. And it's weird, but, you know, he starts finding like little things here and there, and also like some supernatural, potentially supernatural stuff happening. And, yeah, because he's finding like scraps of paper and like pages of books and stuff like that, he's slowly figuring out the story of the place. And yeah, it gets pretty wild. I have not finished the game, but I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, the writing to it is incredibly witty.
I you know, like old Willie school makes visuals to it as well. Gives it like that old school DOS feel.
I was going to say, or as I did say previously, like it's very reminiscent of like the first Monkey Island game that LucasArts did. I really appreciate that. Like there's all sorts of different, you know, locations for you to go to, but also there's puzzles to solve. Like there's this one shed where there's like a parakeet sitting out front. And so if anytime you get near the door, the parakeet, you know, starts screaming its head off, chases you away. And the guy who's actually staying in the house, like pokes his head out with like a shotgun or a sword or something, and then quickly closes it again. And so you have to figure out how you can get the bird to be quiet. Okay, cool. The bird's now quiet. But how do I get this guy's attention and also not get myself killed? You know? And so it's a lot of trial and error. Thankfully, there is no like death story to it. You know, like, so as far as I'm aware, there are not multiple, endings and stuff like that. And the game, with the items that you have to pick up occasionally, you'll have to, combine them, which, you know, standard adventure game, thing. And thankfully, like, it, I haven't broken the game. Like, that's there's stuff good. There's stuff that I did that I clearly figured, like, I should not have done this at this point, but it didn't lock me out of anything. Like, the game seems to prevent, like, if you're going to need something for something late, like, later on, it won't let you combine it until later in the game, which was helpful. And yeah, as I said, there's plenty of puzzles. So it, you know, it's pretty solid all in all. Like, this is a great example of the genre. And I really recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Solo dev too.
Oh really? It's just one dude.
Yep. Created and developed solo by Jose Trujillo with music and sound by Antonio Vaz Mediano. Hopefully I got that right. Nah, it's supposed to clock in 2 to 3 hours, which is not too bad. $9 game. What do you think of it?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is totally worth it. It's a lot of fun. And also, if you're into point and click adventures, this is a good new one to pick up. So I definitely recommend it.
Very good. Next up, One Button Games 5-in-1 Volume 7, developed by Abba Games, published by Zetalon. It released July 7th, Volume 7 on the 7th. On Xbox platforms, $4.99 per version, 5 games, 1 button. Are you a bad enough dude to button press? Bree, Jacob, Aki, I think you covered this too, but I know Bree and Jacob did. Bree, start us off. What's Button Games Volume 7?
This is a series of collections of games that feature only one button you can press to play the game. It's the A button. There are 5 games in each collection, and all of these are similar to, like, 1-bit graphics in their visual style, but have more colors than that. It has chiptune music and a CRT and scaleline filter you can totally turn off.
Thank God.
Achievements are off-numbered, specifically 18s, yes, and encourage you to get high scores, last a certain period of time, or perform a certain number of tasks. You want me to just go through them one by one?
Jacob, do you have any quick things first before we get into the 5 games?
No, Bree covered it pretty well. I mean, they have the same features as the previous entries into the series. So,
yeah, she covered pretty much. All right, let's go down these 5 games. The first one is called Upshot. Tell us about it.
This game has a screen moving to the right. You can stop and fire by holding the A button, and you can let go to run forward. Various sizes of red square will fall down from the sky with gaps in the line that is dropping, and you can stop under the gap and fire upwards for points. If you get hit by the stream, it's game over. The screen also keeps moving slowly to the right, even when you stop. And if you get hit by the screen, it's game over. This is actually my favorite game in the collection.
Nice. Jacob?
I thought it was good. I don't have the hang of it yet.
Fair.
Suck. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I mean, what do you think of Upshot?
Thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up. I mean,
all right, how about Smiley Angry?
All right, you have a smiley face and an angry face floating in the sky, shooting things at you. You want to collect the things from the smiley face and avoid the things from the angry face that they're throwing down. You can't just rely on the colors, though, because the faces change colors and smiles or frowns at random intervals. As for buttons, you just press the A to turn back and forth. You can also run through a screen wrap. This was my least favorite game in the collection.
This game had some bullshit.
One way to put it.
Yeah.
Jacob, thoughts on Smiley Angry?
I like the idea of it.
Besides bullshit.
I like the idea of it. But thumbs up, thumbs down. I fucking hated it. No.
Yeah.
Thumbs down on that one.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
How about V-Bomb?
All right, you have a white plane, and there are red planes dropping bombs. These bombs have timers, and if you want to avoid them, or you want to avoid them when the timer's up because they give, like, a fiery column in its wake, and then you press the A button to turn the opposite direction from your constant movement. If you rapid press the button, you'll basically stay still. Avoid the bombs as long as you can, or it's game over. This was the game I was probably best at.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad. Like, it was decently entertaining.
Yeah.
Cool. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Pin climb.
Unless your screen is slowly moving upward and you want to climb to the top, you are a red dot that can climb on pins that look like crosses. When you press the button, you get an extending red line that circles around you and connects to one of the nearest pins. You want to stretch your line to the pins above you, because if your pin goes below the screen, your game is over.
Sounds complicated. Jacob, thoughts? Good input. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I could give it a thumbs up.
I'll give it a thumbs up.
All right, last game is called Number Line. What's this about?
This has a top line and a bottom line of fairly random numbers. When you hit the button, it grabs the numbers on the screen and tallies them. If the numbers on top are more than the numbers on bottom, you get a positive score. If the bottom is higher, you lose score. Over time, the two lines get closer together. Your positive sum moves the lines away. The negative moves the lines closer. When the two lines meet, it's game over.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This one sounds unique.
It is.
Jacob, admittedly, it was.
I'm not good at it.
We know you're not good at it.
It's the most RNG of them. So, I mean, yeah.
All right. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up on that one.
So yeah, I'll give it thumbs up.
Looks to be 4-1, thumbs up versus thumbs down. The game is $5. What do you two think of it?
This has the best collection of games for me over the other collections. I feel like all the games in this were pretty clear to understand how they worked pretty quick.
I will agree with that. I honestly thought that this was one of the more solid ones.
Yeah, the concepts were fun and challenging. Except Smiley Angry. but I would say if you were to only buy one collection in the series, try this one. But given you can get all of them for a low price in bundles,
All volumes bundle, which is volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and all three versions of each game, $29.99.
Right, and it's an increasing number of games. Yeah, and you're getting potentially more games in the future added to that bundle for free, because Xenolon
has been amazing enough to make these, so if you already own the bundle of all games, you get the future releases as well.
Yeah.
That's a big reason that even though we're not covering Triple Stacks anymore, we'll still cover these, because...
Yeah, it's a good value.
Like, we're still getting these. We don't need a new code to cover these. We're getting them. So that's amazing. That is awesome. I love that Xenolon does that. But yeah, good. Indeed.
But yeah, overall, I would say buy it on this one.
Cool. Final game to talk about tonight is Arcade Archives 2 Ladybug, developed and published by Hamster. Released July 1st, Xbox Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Ladybug is an action game released by Universal in 1981. Control the Ladybug and avoid pursuing enemies while making your way through the maze and collecting all the dots. Since only the Ladybug can pass through the revolving doors, they're effective for avoiding enemy attacks. Collect the bonuses marked with letters or hearts skillfully and aim for a high score. Jacob, what is Arcade Archives 2 Ladybug?
So Ladybug is very similar to like Pac-Man, in which your character is going around this maze. You have to pick up these dots. There's like little letter icons that you could pick up too, or that you need to pick up as well. Obviously you get more points, and you need to eat them all to get to the next level. But what differs this... I mean, actually, there's quite a bit that differs it from Pac-Man. First off, enemies are different. This one, they're bugs, because you're a ladybug. There's 8 different bugs. Each one of them has, like, a different pattern, you know, just like the ghosts. But then, like, once you get past level 9... you get real screwed real quick, because it throws on 4 different bugs at a time. It's back to, like, it actually kind of resembles a Pac-Man game. But then at the same time, it doesn't, because the maze is constantly changing. There are green walls in this, and if you touch those walls, you make the wall actually move, and so you can create like new hallways and like endings to halls, and like actually like trap the other bugs, and like it's really neat to use, and like it adds like a whole nother level of strategy to this game. I honestly dig this more than Pac-Man. Like, I mean, like, I get why Pac-Man like is the bigger one, but like, holy crap, like this thing's a gem. Like, this is really good.
I used to play this at our one bowling alley that I used to go to as a kid. I think Sky Lanes was the name of it. They had this, they had Karnov, they had Ninja Turtles, and I always went back to playing this.
Like, it's so good. Like, and I've never heard of this game until, honestly, this Arcade Archives release. Like, this is wild.
That's something I love about the Arcade Archives series, is you get games like this that you never heard of.
Yep. Never heard of, never played, and now I have, and I'm just like, oh man, like I found a new favorite of this type of game.
Any other thoughts on the game? Any other tidbits you know of?
I don't know anything about the arcade release of it. But yeah, like it's a really fun game, and I really recommend it. Like, I know everyone's like, probably like, I don't know, probably like every 6 weeks, I'm like, oh, this is my new favorite release. Like, this is the best release of this year of Arcade Archives. And it's just like, this one's currently my favorite of all the releases that we've had since ACA 2 came out. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what other surprises we get in the future. Like, this was really cool.
Very good. $10, your verdict.
Absolutely. Get it. Cool. So, like the Arcade Archive series is already like excellent, but this is definitely like a gem among all of it.
Very good. Hamster, I'm going, like I've asked in the past, now I'm just going to straight up beg, can we please get the fucking Console Archives games on Xbox? Like, Rhapsody came out this week. Rhapsody. The game I've been talking about with this Console Archive series since it was announced. You know what platforms you could buy Rhapsody on before Arcade Archives existed or Console Archives release happened? You could buy it on the Switch and you could buy it on PlayStation. You couldn't buy it on Xbox. Now with Console Archives, you could buy it on Switch or you could buy it on PlayStation, but you still can't fucking buy it on Xbox. That's bullshit. Hamster, bring Console Archives to Xbox. Stop treating Xbox like lower class gamers. Give us the releases. This is stupid. Like, we went years without Arcade Archives releases, and now we have to make up for it very slowly with one or two extra games a month that we never got for years, and now we're going to pull this shit with Console Archives. Like, it makes me so frustrated as an Xbox gamer that Hamster does this to us. No one else. Everyone else is getting these games. Xbox, nope. I guess I'm the only one with thoughts on that.
No. I do have thoughts on it, but I don't really have much to add to that other than I would also like to get my hands on some of these titles. They released a PlayStation 1 game pretty recently that looked pretty dope.
Yeah, Hard Edge.
It was pointed out to me that there's something in chat there that's a nice fact about that.
What's up?
Oh, Ladybug predated Ms. Pac-Man and was the first playable female character in video games.
There you go.
Huh.
Nifty.
Really?
All right, and with that, we are done. That is it for this episode. We made it through. I wonder if I could get away with playing a Breaking Benjamin song at the end of this, because they have a song called Ladybug. I'm going to guess no.
That seems like a bad idea.
It does. But I like bad ideas. Well, it's either that or more Guitaru Man.
Guitaru Man!
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
I like what Trash Rando just said. Stop acting like a gerbil.
That works.
What did you say to me? I'm not a novelty. You're praying reverently, but now I'm listening. I am a simple man without a simple plan. Let's make it easy and just get out while we can. I'm the one you want. Hey, ladybug. Just say to me.